Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and welcome to episode 156 of Her, the podcast where you'll hear the naked truth about her mind, her body, her life, and today, her dirty skin. Yeah, you heard me right. This is going to be a terrific show coming up. But before we begin, just know that this episode is made possible by our wonderful friends at Smarty Pants Women's Vitamins, the delicious once-a-day gummies that contain all of the essential vitamins, minerals, and omega oils customized just for women. To learn more, hop on over to SmartyPantsVitamins.com. And here's your reminder to click onto iTunes after this episode to rate and review the show. We look forward to hearing from you, and then we're going to sit there and review all your feedback because we love it, love it, love it, love it. So bring it on. All right, it's time for Her.
Her, the podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind, her body, her life. It's all about her.
Ha, huh, what an interesting title of this episode. The beauty of dirty skin. I know, there with the eyebrows, right up there on the ceiling somewhere saying, say what? There's actually a book. It is a fabulous book. It's called The Beauty of Dirty Skin. It's written by Dr. Whitney Bowe, who is a medical director of integrative dermatology, aesthetics, and wellness at Advanced Dermatology, in addition to being a distinguished research scientist and a thought leader in her field. She is one of the most in-demand dermatologists in America and has lent her expertise to programs like Good Morning America, The Rachel Ray Show, Doctors, and Dr. Oz. And she and her work have been featured in publications all over the place, including the Wall Street Journal. And, you know, really, at the end of the day, I just think this entire concept is fascinating. You're going to learn some great new science. Dr. Bowe, bring it on. Welcome to Her.
It is such a pleasure and such an honor. I am a huge fan. I love my field because it's all about empowering women and making them feel their most confident, their most beautiful by, you know, presenting to the world how they feel on the inside. You know, sometimes people come to me and they say, my skin is not reflecting how I feel, whether it feels old or dull, or if they're struggling with a skin disorder like it's acne or eczema, rosacea, vitiligo, melasma. You know, and I help them on that journey. I help them to make it so that their inside matches their outside and that they feel more confident in the skin that they're in. And I feel like you're
well, good. Well, now we're talking about the inside.
For the same reason.
Well, if we could do this, you know, you're talking about this whole issue of, you know, beauty from the inside. This is speaking to a very special place in our inside. It's all about the microbiome. Tell us all about what the microbiome is and how it relates to our skin.
So we are covered in trillions of microscopic bacteria, viruses and fungi, but the predominant organism here is bacteria that we're concerned with. And they're creeping and crawling all over our skin, even when our skin is clean, even when we get out of the shower, we're actually covered, you know, all these little buggers, and they're just swarming, you know, through our eyelashes, diving in our belly buttons. And, you know, that can really creep people out. But these bugs are absolutely critical and essential when it comes to keeping our skin healthy. And it's not just the skin microbiome. So the microbiome refers to those healthy bacteria that support our health and share this mutually beneficial relationship with our bodies. It's not just limited to our skin, it's also in our guts. And we have tons of bacteria swimming throughout our intestines and throughout our guts. And the relationship between the gut and the skin is one that's really come to the forefront in science over the last 10 years or so. And we're learning that if you have an unhappy gut, if you have an inflamed gut through eating the wrong foods and the wrong diet, then that's going to show up as unhappy skin. You know, your skin is like a window to your overall health. So when you're not treating your insides the right way and you're not eating a proper diet and you're letting the bad bugs take over, those bad bugs are going to trigger inflammation in the gut, and that's going to end up showing up in the skin. So we are learning now with all this information about the microbiome that we need to be good to our bugs. We need to protect, nurture, and support the bugs on our skin and in our gut if we want to have glowing, healthy skin.
Oh my gosh. So this means that the old adage of you should have squeaky clean skin is probably not great. Yes?
You nailed it. One of the number one mistakes that Americans make when it comes to taking care of their skin is that they are over cleansing. We are obsessed with hygiene. We are obsessed with that squeaky clean feeling. And in an effort to get our skin nice and clean, we end up using things like Buff Puffs and loofahs that are literally rubbing and scrubbing away our good bugs. And we use things like harsh antibacterial soaps and scrubs and soaps that actually literally strip our skin of our natural oils and our healthy good bugs. And we're doing that again and again and again because we love that squeaky clean feeling, and we equate clean skin with healthy skin. You know, we were raised with this concept of the germ theory, you know, that all germs are bad, that all bacteria are bad, and that they all cause infection. So, you know, so we are very much focused on sanitizing and sterilizing our environments and our skin. And we're learning that those efforts to try to sanitize our skin through all this rubbing and scrubbing and harsh soaps is doing more harm than good, because we're actually killing off these good bugs that are quite necessary for keeping our skin barrier healthy. As it's showing up.
Okay,
in the skin,
so what you have in your book, but you have in your book a 3-week plan that addresses what you call the gut brain skin axis. I'd love to hear what that 3-week plan sounds like, because, you know, I know that most of our Her podcast listeners are scratching their heads saying, oh no, I'm doing it all wrong. What do I do? Help. So give us the blueprint for that plan.
Yeah. So I basically took, you know, all of my clinical experience treating hundreds of patients every week and all of my research experience culminating over the last 10, 15 years. And I have found that in 21 days, you can really transform your skin from the inside out and the outside in on any budget. You do not have to spend a fortune on expensive creams and in-office procedures. So I break it down into 3 weeks. And in the first week, you really want to heal the gut. So in the first week, I talk about certain foods and supplements that you want to include in your diet and other foods that you want to avoid that are going to heal the gut and in turn heal the skin. In week two, I focus on stress, all those things that you do every day that impact your stress levels, because we know that chronic stress is translated into physical inflammation in the skin. So in week two, I talk about things like sleep, exercise, and even meditation and deep breathing so that you can really dial down those cortisol levels and those stress levels and stop that emotional and psychological stress from triggering inflammation in the skin. And in week three, I talk about how to take care of your skin. And, you know, I force people to rethink that concept of getting that squeaky clean feeling. And I encourage my readers to throw away their instruments and their products that are leaving them with that tight, squeaky feeling, and instead start experimenting with all those new probiotic skincare products out there. There's a ton of serums and creams and lotions that are hitting the market now that are actually made based on probiotic technology or healthy bug technology.
Okay, keep going. We want to know more. I mean, how specifically?
During week one, yeah. So some of the tips. So the first thing, you know, you can make some very, very simple changes. But during week one, you know, what we've realized through our research and through my experience with my patients is that one of the biggest mistakes that people make is that they're consuming milk, dairy milk. Skim milk in particular has been linked with inflammation in the skin and primarily linked with even severe acne. We're seeing higher rates of adult female acne than we've ever seen in the past. Over 50% of adult women are still struggling with acne. So I have patients come to my office, they have tears in their eyes, and they say, Dr. Bo, I'm dealing with wrinkles and acne. How is this possible and how is this fair? And I say to them, what'd you have for breakfast? And I say, oh, I had, you know, a fat-free latte, right? A skim milk cappuccino, or they had some kind of a dairy milk. And that can definitely be contributing to adult acne. So one of the things in my book that I talk about during week one is you want to swap out dairy milk and replace it with almond milk or coconut milk. Now, not all dairy is bad. So having yogurt is actually okay, because fermented dairy, if the dairy has gone through a process called fermentation, the good bugs have sort of worked on those products, and there's actually good bugs in them, live bacteria. If you look at yogurt, you know, Greek yogurt at the supermarket, sometimes you'll see on the label, it says the word live active cultures. And that's a good sign. It means it's got some healthy probiotics in there. So there are certain tweaks you can make when it comes to dairy. Probably the number one mistake that people make is that they're consuming too much sugar. And sugar feeds those bad bugs in the gut. And when those bad bugs take over, they trigger inflammation. But having foods that are what are called high in glycemic index. So a high glycemic index food is something like white bread, white bagel, white pasta, chips, corn.
Processed.
Pretzels.
Processed and refined.
Yeah, processed, packaged. You got it. So those foods, they get digested very quickly. They lead to a glucose spike or a blood sugar spike. And then after that, it leads to a spike in insulin in our blood. That triggers a whole cascade of events that basically culminates in inflammation in the skin. So it can really, really take a toll on the skin. There's another process when we eat or drink sugars, say you're having, you know, a glass of orange juice, which people used to think is healthy, but really having orange juice is like just, you might as well drink a can of Coke. You're just ingesting tons of sugar. And what it's doing is it's actually leading to a process called glycation, where the sugar molecules themselves directly bind to the proteins in your skin, like collagen and elastic fibers, and it actually targets them to break down. And then we break them down faster than we can make new ones, and then people, it leads to sagging skin, wrinkles, loss of elasticity, loss of firmness. So if you make the simple swap of trying to switch out foods that are high in glycemic index, meaning, you know, those processed foods we talked about, the white bread, the white flour, the white pasta, and you replace them with whole unprocessed foods that are low in sugar, high in fiber, things like steel-cut oatmeal, quinoa, lots of different vegetables, sweet potato, proteins, healthy fat, that's going to make really dial down that inflammation in the skin. So whether you're struggling with, you know, acne or eczema, you know, it manifests differently depending on your genetics and depending on what you're genetically prone to. But the common thread underlying all of those skin conditions is inflammation. So if we can dial down.
You know, I don't think most people really understand what this whole issue of inflammation is about. Now, as I've said on multiple other, you know, podcasts, inflammation is the basis of most disease. So if you look at everything from heart disease to cancer, what you actually see is what we call a pro-inflammatory state, which is like diabetes, type 2, et cetera. And so what you don't want is inflammation. Interestingly, when you have that issue with diabetes, cancer, and heart disease, you're not really oftentimes seeing something. But when it comes to the skin, you actually see something. You can actually see skin that looks like what, Dr. Bo?
Yes, so you can see. And depending on the person, it might come out as acne. It might come out as eczema, those dry patches that are very itchy. It might come out as just dull skin or loss of firmness, loss of tone to the skin. It might manifest as something called melasma, which is when you look like you have dark spots. If some people have a mustache, it almost looks like there's a stain over their upper lip. So, you know, there's something called the gut-brain-skin axis. And if you develop a leaky gut, if you don't eat the right food and you create inflammation in the gut, that can then cause inflammation system-wide. It can cause the toxins that are supposed to remain inside your gut to then be released into your bloodstream, and that triggers inflammation in the skin. So if somebody is genetically prone to acne and they're not eating the right foods and they're not handling their stress properly, it's going to manifest as acne. If somebody is genetically prone to, say, rosacea, where they get red blotches and broken blood vessels on the skin, then if they're not eating the right foods and they don't have the right balance of bacteria in their gut, it's going to end up creating leaky gut, and that's going to show up as a flare of their rosacea. So it sort of differs depending on the person and what their genetic predisposition is, but in pretty much everyone, it leads to dull skin, dry skin, and premature aging, meaning fine lines, wrinkles, and more of that laxity and loss of elasticity to the skin.
Oh, fun. Sounds like good to me. All right. So now we have countless women out there sitting there, you know, completely freaked out, saying to themselves, I'm doing everything wrong. What in heaven's name do I do now? Okay. So give women an idea of of how you would recommend a woman wake up in the morning. What's the first thing she does with her skin and how does she take care of it throughout the day?
So as soon as you wake up in the morning, you want to start hydrating. Coffee is wonderful because it's loaded with antioxidants in it. It's a great source of antioxidants. So by all means, enjoy your cup of coffee, but sort of alternate it with water because coffee can be a little bit more dehydrating. So you want to make sure that you're having a lot of water with the coffee. So, you know, side by side, but it's a great way to start your day or even having, I have a bunch of detox water recipes in my book, just different forms of water that sort of make it a little bit more flavorful by adding different sources of antioxidants like fruits and vegetables to the water. So you want to start your day by hydrating. And then what you want to do is you want to take you can take a shower. You can certainly enjoy your daily shower. I know the beauty of dirty skin is the title of my book, but by no means am I asking
I
you to give up your daily shower. So a roll in the mud and never shower. It's not exactly what I'm saying. I like my daily shower, but what I do is I keep my shower a little bit on the shorter side. I don't use scalding hot water. And I use very gentle soaps and cleansers, and I use my fingertips only. So I'm using, you know, I use like Dove soap or a gentle soap, I'll use it in my underarms, I'll use it in my groin. I don't need to lather up my arms, my legs, my chest, my back every time I take a shower, because unless I'm really dirty and really sweaty that day, or, you know, I really was sort of playing in the mud with my six-year-old, you know, then I can really lather up. But other than that, for every single day purposes, you know, just sort of hitting those primary areas that are prone to body odor are really the most essential. And then using my fingertips to do that. So, you know, you don't need to scrub with a body mitt and a exfoliating mitt or a Buff Puff or a loofah. That's really anything that feels like sandpaper on the skin is actually damaging your skin's good bugs and damaging its healthy barrier. So as soon as I'm done with my shower, I'm going to step outside, pat dry with a clean towel, pat, not rub. And then I'm going to apply a moisturizer. Ideally, I'm going to be experimenting with some of the moisturizers that have prebiotics and probiotics in them, either, you know, ingredients that are going to feed my healthy bugs or ingredients that actually contain technologies that are derived from healthy bugs that are going to help stimulate collagen production and help keep my skin hydrated by boosting things like ceramides, healthy fats in the skin. So I'm going to apply that, make sure I'm trapping in all the moisture that I just, you know, exposed my skin to during the shower. And then I'm going to have a breakfast, and I'm going to have a breakfast that's low in sugar, high in fiber, loaded with healthy fats and lots of antioxidants. So I'm going to have some eggs. Ideally, I'm going to have pasture-raised eggs because pasture-raised eggs have a beautiful type of fat in them called omega-3 fatty acids that are wonderful for dialing down inflammation and also trapping moisture in the skin. And I'm going to have avocado, which is another source of great healthy fat. And I'm going to have lots of spinach and broccoli and peppers and deeply colored vegetables mixed into those eggs and avocado, because then I'm getting a great source of protein, I'm getting a great source of fat, and I'm getting lots of fiber and lots of antioxidants. And because I already had my cup of coffee, I'm probably going to have a cup of green tea. I'm going to mix it up a little bit. I'm going to continue to hydrate all day long. Instead of having a soda or a diet iced tea midday, I'm going to try to sip on something called kombucha. Dr. Peek, have you
ever
tasted
tell
kombucha?
Everyone what kombucha is and why it's good for your skin.
I love kombucha. I'm a big fan, guys. It's a fermented tea. So it sort of like appeases my craving for something that tastes, that's got a flavor to it, that's got a little fizzy component, a little carbonation to it. But it's amazing for you because it's loaded with healthy bacteria. It's one of those fermented foods that I talked about before, where these healthy bugs, these healthy bacteria have actually acted on the food and made it even more calming and soothing for your gastric.
So is this a probiotic?
It is a source of probiotics, yes. There are live bacteria in the kombucha. And you can just go to any drugstore now and any supermarket will actually carry different brands of kombucha. If you go and you look in the refrigerated sections, they've really exploded throughout the country. They started off more as like a West Coast phenomenon, but now you can pretty much get them anywhere. And, you know, I used to be an artificial sweetener addict. I used to have diet iced teas and diet sodas throughout the day. And it was really hard for me to break that habit. But once I read all the literature on how artificial sweeteners can really mess with your microbiome and actually it can contribute to inflammation system-wide and in the skin and lead to obesity and diabetes and insulin resistance, all these things that I was like, oh my gosh, here I am, like totally not doing myself any favors by having these artificial sweeteners. You know, I knew I had to cut them out. And for me, kombucha was it first. It's an acquired taste, guys, just being honest. You have to find the flavor that jives with your taste buds, and that might take a little experimentation. There's different flavors like ginger, turmeric, ginger berry, guava, for those who have a little bit more of a sweet tooth. But, you know, you kind of find the one that resonates with you and that you like. And I guarantee you, after a couple of days, if you cut out, you know, the diet soda and you replace it with a kombucha, you're going to be less bloated, you're going to have better ability to concentrate, and your skin is probably going to start improving.
So that's a
good way to start your day.
All right, now keep going, because and you know then, that day is looking ugly. They're working hard. They're getting exposed to pollution out there. The sun's hitting you. What else?
Yes. So I'm definitely wearing an antioxidant serum with sunscreen in the morning. I'm putting that all over my face and my neck. The sunscreen alone is not going to help with things like pollution. Pollution triggers free radicals in the skin, and our typical sunscreens do not protect us from that. So we do want to make sure that we're getting an antioxidant serum. Some kind of serum with vitamin C in it or vitamin E in it is great. I mix a couple drops of that with my sunscreen. And then during the day, actually little pollutant particles are sticking to our makeup and our sunscreen all day long. So I want to make sure to clean off my makeup at night. I never go to sleep with makeup on. But again, I'm not doing it in an aggressive way. I'm not rubbing and scrubbing with instruments and foaming up and getting that squeaky clean feeling. I'm using a gentle cleanser. Maybe it's got the words hydrating, pH balanced on the cleanser. And it doesn't leave my skin, it leaves my skin feeling hydrated, not squeaky.
Well, what about those makeup removers? You know, you have the towelettes and you have, you know.
The towelettes are sort of a last resort. If you're traveling, if you don't have access to soap and water, if you're so tired, it's a really late night, you're just totally exhausted, and you can't even get to the sink, and it just happens to be on your nightstand, it's okay. On a daily basis, they do tend to have higher levels of preservatives and more aggressive ingredients in there that are a little bit more irritating for your skin barrier. So,
what about the ones that come in a bottle that you use with cotton?
So there's certain cleansing oils. So if you're wearing heavy makeup or if you live in an area where there's a lot of pollution, I do recommend a process called double cleansing, where you start with an oil-based cleanser. And then you finish with a water-based cleanser. So the oil-based cleansers are probably the ones that you're referring to, where, you know, you can put a little bit on a cotton pad or a cotton swab, or you can just pump a little bit of the oil-based cleanser right into your hand and rub that on your skin while your skin is still dry. And then you start to add water to it. And then the last step is using a water-based cleanser to make sure that you're removing all of the oil from the surface of the skin. That's a much deeper cleanse. That's for people who are wearing heavy makeup. Like just the other day, I was filming The View, and they put on a lot of makeup because when you're under all those lights, you look a little shiny. You know, so when I rinsed that off, I did a double cleanse. So I had a lot of makeup on, a lot of powder on, a lot of eye makeup on. So I used first an oil-based cleanser, and then I followed it with a water-based cleanser. But that does dry out your skin if you do it every single night. So you want to make sure to, as soon as you're done cleansing, you want to put on a moisturizer right away. You want to really trap that moisture into the skin. I also love using a retinol or a retinoid a couple times a week. You know, it depends how much your skin can tolerate it. You don't want to push your skin. You know, some people can only use a retinol or a retinoid once or twice a week. But I think just introducing that into your skincare regimen, you know, a couple times a week, it's one of the most powerful ingredients when it comes to keeping your skin looking young and healthy and building collagen and keeping away the dark spots as well.
Wow. Okay. Whew. You know, part of this is like there's a lot to remember. Oh, my gosh. You know, but I think some of the biggest takeaways here are, number one, the fact that what goes on inside your body is extremely critical to what happens on the external part of your body. So there's your gut microbiome and all the little friends with benefits in the gut. At the same time, they're communicating with all your little friends, all trillions of them, on the skin itself. And so the next piece to this is, you know, one, you want to feed the gut well, because when you feed the gut well, those bacteria are happy. And when they're happy, you can reduce, if not eliminate, this whole body inflammation that seems to show up so often when we're eating trash, processed, refined foods instead of whole, hopefully organic foods, and hydrating ourselves extremely well. So that's really important. The other thing too is you can actually feed yourself some bacteria. Yep, hello yogurt and kombucha. And there are other prebiotics actually, which are really great. Any fermented foods, for instance, are wonderful. And there's a whole list of prebiotic type foods that have high levels of fiber. Even apples work, and bananas. They're really good with this. Then as you go through taking care of your skin, once you're hydrating and you're eating well, what do you do with your skin? Number one, stop with the squeaky clean already. We're over cleaning and over washing ourselves. I don't know where the heck that came from, but whatever. It's time to kind of kick it to the curb, because we don't want to be wiping out all of that wonderful, friendly bacterial flora all over our skin, certainly. The other thing, too, is to be really smart about how you clean your skin. So, you know, again, listening to what Dr. Bo has said, you're really looking for those kinds of products that will moisturize, that will replenish, that will protect, because obviously you need that SPF as well. The retinoids are extremely important as well. And that you need to think about your skin all day long. You need to think, what's skin friendly here? You know that when you've been out in pollution and traveling and drying it out and back and forth, think ahead. There are ways to be able to refresh and regroup here. And as a final thing, what do you think about how often a woman should have a facial and a chemical peel at whatever level? I mean, when should she kind of be doing this sort of, you know, routine type of regrouping and resetting the record, as it were, on her face?
So typical facials actually don't really have any long-term benefit on the skin unless they make you feel very relaxed. You know, if that's really your time to take care of yourself, the way that a massage would be, or the way that a walk with a friend would be, you know, that sort of me time can help you manage and cope with stress. But if you're looking for a long-term solution from a facial, the only type of facial that really is going to change the quality of the skin in the long term is like a vampire facial, where I actually, in the office setting, will take somebody's blood, spin it down in a centrifuge, separate out the plasma, which is rich in growth factors, you know, paint it back on the skin, and then actually use a device to microneedle it into the skin. It's a fancy procedure. It can get very expensive. It's really not entirely necessary to spend that kind of money. I really do it for my celebrity patients, you know, or patients who are really looking to sort of, you know, take their skin above and beyond. But from a regular sort of maintenance standpoint, I'm not a big facial advocate. I don't think that they're that necessary. I think chemical peels are great, but chemical peels, again, you know, they can end up being expensive if you're getting them done in the office. I do glycolic and salicylic acid peels in my office, but you can also buy lower strength versions of those peels at home. You just don't want to do it more than twice a week. You know, it's a form of exfoliation, and if you over exfoliate the skin, you can leave the skin dry, itchy, inflamed, and actually worse off than the way it started. So, you know, I definitely try to address in the book, you know, where it's worth spending the money and where it's worth saving your money. You know, and I also, excellent, on my website, I'm very, generous with, making product recommendations, drwhitneybow.com. Okay. And I have a whole tab there. Oh, sorry.
All right. Well, you know, you said your website, can you tell everyone what your website is so they can run on over to it?
Oh, sure. It's drwhitneybow.com. Make lots of recommendations there about products.
And there's also a nice piece on that of Beauty of a Dirty Skin book. So you can look up both of those and run around. This has just been really an eye-opener, I know, for myself as well as all of our wonderful Her Podcast listeners. We have been talking to Dr. Whitney Bo. She is a dermatologist to the stars, and definitely one of America's top dermatologists. She is the author of The Beauty of Dirty Skin. Please run on over to her website, Dr. Whitney Bowe, that's BOWE.com, and read all about her work, grab her book, and start doing this the right way. No more squeaky skin. Thank you so much, Dr. Bowe, for being on the Herb Podcast.
For having me. This was such a treat.
Yay. And we loved it. Oh boy, oh boy. And everyone, please get on over to iTunes right now. Rate and review this show. We're sitting here waiting to hear from you because we want to hear your thoughts and comments about this really fabulous idea, dirty skin. Aha! And now you understand what Dr. Bowe is talking about. Yep. All right. I'm Dr. Pam Peek, host of the Her Podcast. Follow me on Facebook at Dr. Pam Peek or Twitter at Pam Peek MD. And remember to catch every episode of the Her Podcast on iTunes or Radio MD. Thanks for listening today and stay well.